2 weeks ago on Monday night, after we had lost power here at campus, we crammed a group of us into the rectory for our final class of Financial Peace University. And in this class, we had a lesson on stewardship from the teacher Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey shared his own experience of conversion and how he found a church to go to. And he went to visit with the pastor about what he might be able to do for the Lord, how he could contribute to the church. And he remembers thinking as he was preparing to meet with the pastor, what does God need me to do for him and his church? And he remembers sitting there with the pastor visiting about what God might need him to do in the church, and it dawned on him that God doesn't need him at all. Brothers and sisters, something that will truly revolutionize your belief in God is when you realize that God does not need you. He's perfectly happy without us. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us, but he's perfectly happy without us. As you realize this, you can be tempted to think, well, gosh, I don't feel very loved, right? What would happen if your spouse came in one day after work and said, I don't need you anymore? You'd feel hurt. But the fact is, because God is God and has created the whole universe and is perfect, he doesn't need us, but he does want us. He loves for love's own sake. But love can be difficult sometimes, especially in the midst of suffering. And this is where Jesus teaches us in the gospel and Elijah in the first reading about Christian compassion. We have a story of two mothers, both in the first reading in the gospel, who are widows and who have lost their only child. Some of you here can actually empathize with that. You can actually share in that pain because you've experienced it being a widow and the mother of an only child who has died. And God has a special place in his heart for you because of these stories. But even any of us who have lost a loved one, you know the deep hurt and loss you have because that person's no longer with you, and it's like a part of your heart has been ripped out. In fact, one translation where it says that Jesus had pity on the woman, one translation says that Jesus' heart broke for the woman. You see, brothers and sisters, God is not unsympathetic to you when your heart breaks, when a piece of your heart seems like it's missing. God has compassion for you. And this, brothers and sisters, the fact that God has compassion for you is the key to having compassion for others, not the other way around. Notice in the story of the gospel that they're in this funeral procession with a large crowd, and they're carrying out the dead boy or the young man. And Jesus walks right up to the coffin and touches it. Now remember, Jews had a lot of rules about uncleanliness. You couldn't, for instance, eat pork or touch a bloodied person, as in the instance of the Good Samaritan story. And to touch a coffin or a dead person was also something you could not do unless you were one of the pallbearers. And so Jesus walks right up and touches this coffin. In fact, it says that they halted, and that's why. They're like, what? Excuse me? What did you just do? You see, guys, Jesus Christ, God, is not afraid to touch the unclean, but often we're afraid to have him touch the unclean. Those are the deepest, darkest parts of ourselves, the way we feel dirty inside, or we fear even our own motivations. We fear our fallenness. But brothers and sisters, in his compassion, God needs to actually touch that part of you, enable to for you to have compassion. Notice also in the gospel that it says that there was a large crowd following Jesus, and there was a large crowd at the funeral. Now, Jesus, we can understand, he's been going around preaching. A lot of people are following him. He's doing a lot of healings. But with a widow and a young man who's died, it would have been atypical to have a large crowd following that funeral. Now, it was the practice at that time in many parts of the world to actually hire people to go to your funeral. It's kind of interesting. Whenever we have funerals here, I'll be standing in the back, and as people are coming in, I'll be visiting with the funeral director or the staff. And one of the things we always talk about is how many people come to the funeral. What kind of people come to the funeral? Are they older, like the person who died? Were they maybe their friends? Maybe that person was so old that all their friends had already passed away. Maybe it was a young person and had many of their peers actually show up for the funeral. And we talk about the number and the kind of people who come to a funeral. As is today, as it was back then, a lot of people think that the number of people who come to a funeral and the kind of people who come to the funeral say something about the person who died, right? If a bunch of dignitaries, the presidents of many countries and kings and queens, showed up at Christ the King one day for a funeral, you'd think, well, somebody very important probably died, right? And then you'd learn it was just Father Matt. It says something about who died, right? Well, the fact that it was uncharacteristic for a large crowd to be there, yet there was, means there was a great compassion by the people who loved this widow. The town, for instance, said to themselves, this poor woman, she lost her husband, now she's lost her only son. Let's go be with her in her time of need. In fact, brothers and sisters, that is the very definition of compassion. Some of you who know other languages, any of them of Latin root, Spanish, German, you'll notice this word com, C-O-M. It means with. And of course, passion means kind of a twofold, both love, an intense love, but also suffering. And guys, isn't that what Christian compassion is supposed to be? To suffer with, so that you can love the person who's suffering. You know, often we don't know how to deal with people who are suffering in our lives. Somebody who's just found out they have cancer, somebody who's received a terminal diagnosis, somebody who's lost a loved one. And believe me, it doesn't get any easier as a priest. Even though I've been a priest for 6 years, I haven't figured out what to say any better than I had 6 years ago. When somebody dies, sometimes there's nothing you can say. It's just suffering with them. It's being there with them in their suffering. That is compassion. So how many people will be at your funeral? What kind of people will be at your funeral? Will we have to pay people to come to your funeral? Will it be the wealthy and the powerful and the prestigious, the popular, the liked? Or rather, will it be the people that you touched through your compassion? The people you have chosen to suffer with so that you can show them love. Will those be the people that show up to your funeral? You know, there's only three times in the whole Bible that Jesus raised people from the dead, excluding himself. And never once outside of Lazarus did he visit a graveside. Now, if Jesus comes and says, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly, if he comes preaching the resurrection, you think he might have visited a few more graves and raised a few more people. But he specifically chose not to. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? Many of you are familiar, though, with the saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Did Jesus come to simply raise us up so that we could die again? No. He came to give eternal life, life in heaven with his heavenly Father. And brothers and sisters, that can only be obtained through compassion. And the key to compassion is not giving it first, it's receiving it first. Let yourselves be loved. Let Jesus suffer with you so that he can show you how much he loves you. Let him suffer the dirtiest parts of you. Let him take on the parts of you that you fear the most, that you feel most ashamed of, that you'd never tell anybody. Those are the parts of you that he wants to suffer so that he can show you compassion. And once he's shown you compassion, then you'll be able to give it.